Blog Talk Radio.
Today and see what the Lord has for us. Before we begin, I always want to give thanks to our sponsor, Rachel Smith, and I just want to kind of always give that intro to help people, especially the newcomers, understand the purpose of this show, which is just to deal with the challenges that we face in life from a biblical standard, but to look at how to apply those biblical standards in a very practical way. So thank you to everyone that's joined in. For those of you that, excuse me, may end up having to be on the go, just know that the call-in number is 347-838-9366. So if you want to listen as you're driving to work, the grocery store, whatever it is, that number again is 347-838-9366. Share it with a friend. Let them know about the show. You can always log back in to www.blogtalkradio.com/askakid to listen to archive shows. We talk a lot about a lot of scriptures, and sometimes you may not be able to get them all, but hey, go back, listen to the show so you can document it, write down the scriptures down, hold me accountable if you have any questions, and bring those up. So before we start, go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we all come before you with one ideal in mind, and that is how to be better people. We understand that in order to be better people, it has to be by your standards and by the will and the calling of your word. So, Lord, as the word comes forth, I pray that you continue to minister to me and all of the listeners to help take our lives to a higher degree in our behavior, our thought processes, and just anything, Lord. Help this word to consume us so that it makes us better with our friends and our family, on our jobs, you know, with our spouses, whatever it is, the strangers on the street, Lord. Let us be able to be the walking Bible that some people get to read and know who you are, even if they never get to open up that actual book. So we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for being who you are. We bring these prayers to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So for those of you that joined in last week, we went in very hard on marriage. And the intention was to come back and to continue that. And I believe that the Lord has steered me in a different direction based on what kept coming up while I was doing my studying over the past week. And basically, things began to take a little bit of a twist because I was looking more so at relationships, period, from a standpoint. And technically, I was getting excited because, you know, well, hey, in marriage, your mate needs to be your friend. But God is still taking that thing to an even deeper place. At the end of the day, I may say relationships more than I'll say family or friendship, because I don't know if you guys ever thought about this, but don't we use friends and family like they're interchangeable words? What do I mean by that? I mean, think about it. whenever you got a friend that you grew up with, y'all tight, y'all are extremely cool, what do you be like? When you introduce, you'd be like, hey, man, this my fam. You'll be like, this is my family. Or, man, we've been friends for so long, man. You know you like family if you need me. You know, whatever it is, you be calling people, your kids calling your friends Chi-Chi and, you know, and uncle and stuff like that. So we end up, people that are friends with us, we begin to give them titles as family. Well, it goes in the reverse for family. When you're really close to a family member, and like me and my cousin, Rachelle, we call each other friends. We feel that we are so close in our relationship that even though we're family, we're friends. So when, whether you want to look at it like that or not, those words are technically interchangeable. So that gives us some freedom. That's what I think. I think it gives us freedom because now we're not saying, okay, we got to do ministry this way because of family and ministry this way because of friends. Because at the end of the day, according to what the Bible says anyway, our family has nothing to do with bloodline. Just to give a quick reference, a scripture to reference that, when you read the first chapter of John, when it's talking about how Jesus was God and there in the beginning he came down to the earth, when you get down to about verse 12 and 13, but it says, for those that received Jesus, that we ended up receiving the power to become sons of God as long as we believed in his name, and that we were born not by blood, not by flesh, and not by man, but of God. So we're grafted into a family with one another that has nothing to do with bloodlines. Genealogy, DNA has nothing to do with it. So when I'm talking today or any other day and I'm talking about family or friends, hey, at the end of the day, to me they're all the same. So what's going on? I'm still on Abraham. What's up with Abraham? Okay, so I was looking at him and I ended up analyzing Abraham and Lot, and Abraham and Sarah. Let's look at this. Abraham and Lot were evidently very, 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 very close. Remember we talked last week about how God called Abraham apart from his family. And even though he called him apart from his family, Abraham took everything with him, his father, his nephew, his servants, et cetera, et cetera. Well, 5 or so years later, Abraham's father died. But what ended up happening with Abraham and Lot is that Lot was walking with Abraham, and as Abraham was getting blessed, so was Lot. Now, we're going to venture into what I'm about to say a little bit deeper later, but I like to use the word residue a lot. The Abraham was the one that God had called and had blessed. Abraham was the one that the Lord said, I've got to show you something. And everywhere that Abraham went, that means that if he was blessed, everything and everybody around him was, so Lot was getting blessed. And what was going on is eventually there was so much between the two of them that there began to become quarrel and strife again between their servants. And Abraham is like, man, you my fam, you my friend. I don't want us to be quarreling with each other. It's not enough space for us right here in this one spot, but how about you pick wherever you want to go. If you go to the left, I go to the right. You go to the right, I go to the left. And they separated. And kind of think of it, picture it like being in a house. And you know how it is back in the day. You had about 3 or 4 families living in one house. And they don't always work so good. You know, it's like, hey, somebody got to move and get their own place. Well, that's pretty much what it was like with them. Now, when you look at how much Lot had, and how much Abraham had, you have these two people that both look very blessed. In the beginning, you will also, come on, what do we say? You're guilty by association, right? If Abraham's a man of God, Lot must definitely be a man of God too. Look at how the Lord is blessing Abraham. Look at how the Lord obviously blessed Lot. Okay. Well, when they separated, Lot picked where he wanted to go. And Lot decided to go towards the land that was in the area of Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay, so we got newcomers to the faith. Sodom and Gomorrah, if you ain't heard about it, was like the most immoral cities of that day. Homosexuality, sexual immorality, stealing, killing, wild, whatever you can think of. If you want, you just did what you wanted to do. You do as thou wilt in Sodom and Gomorrah is what it basically boils down to. Now, please, bear with me. This is supposed to be a man of God. And he decides to go towards an area that is godless in every sense of the word. Okay, let's back up. Oh, well, he could have been, you know how we do it. We still going to all these different places and participating in these different things. Why? Because we want to get somebody saved. Because we want to minister to the folk. You know, you can try to justify it all you want to, but when you read further into the story, Lot wasn't going there because he had a mission. Okay, so let's keep on going. So Lot goes towards Sodom and Gomorrah. God leaves, Abraham is left in Canaan. God tells him his blessing. And see, here's the interesting thing now. God had been telling Abraham, go to a land. I have something I want to show you. But the actual fullness of what God had for Abraham, he didn't reveal it until he was separated from Lot. Think about it. What it was that God had to give to Abraham until all that junk that he brought with him, no offense to Lot, was gone. Then that's when God said to Abraham, this is the fullness of the blessing that I have for you. Now, Abraham is going on with his life, and he's doing what he's doing. Some things go down. Now, most of us know about, that have been in church, we probably heard some pastor at some point talk about how Abraham went back and forth with God because God revealed to him that he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham knew this where Lot was at. He was like, come on, God, you're not going to destroy that city? The righteous and the wicked together? Come on now, if it's at least 50 righteous people there, don't destroy the city. And Abraham begins his negotiation. What if it's 40? What if it's 30? And so on and so forth. So he gets all the way down to 10. But even before that, Lot had to get bailed out of trouble by Abraham. Before that, some things happened. Some kings decided that they wanted to destroy the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah. There was a war going on. And those kings gained the upper hand. And when they seized the people and the possessions, Lot was with them, and he got seized and all of his possessions as well. So somebody breaks free, and they go back, and they're like, hey, Abraham, they got your nephew, dog. What's up? And Abraham, with about 300 of his servants, which were also warriors, went with him. They went and did some damage, and he got Lot out of his mess. So he physically went in to get Lot out of the chaos. How many of us have someone that we're in a relationship with, and we see them in the chaos? We see them in the strife. We were already tight with them, and it's like we got separated. God's still blessing you, doing what he's doing for you. You could have sworn they was your homie, your brother, your sister in Christ, and their life is going downhill. They're engulfed around a bunch of wickedness, and you had to go in and save them. How many of us, when we've gotten to that point, have felt like, oh, wow, look at how God brought this thing back together, man. So now we have to, rekindle things. Look, man, I'm so glad I got you. You good? And from there, we end up going back on a relationship kick. That's not what happened with Lot and Abraham. Because after he was saved and he was redeemed, Lot still had his perspective, and Abraham still had his. Excuse me. We just said that we usually skip over the story about when Abraham physically went and saved Lot. But Lot obviously, went back to where he came from once he gained his freedom, because then God was petitioned by Abraham not to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But this time around, Abraham did not physically go and do anything. He interceded on Lot's behalf. And what ended up happening with that intercession is that God honored that. God said, okay, he sent some angels to go there and to get Lot and to get his family and to pull him out. And Lot still, when you read through the story, you're going to realize that Lot, he didn't say, ooh, thank you, the angels came to save me. at one point, the scriptures say he lingered, and the angel was like, get up out of here. This is where we're telling you to go. Ooh, I don't want to go here, blah, blah, blah. No, get out, go, fine, go there, but just get up out of this city because he's going to destroy it, and we're not going to be able to destroy it until you get up out of here. So Lot left, and he still went somewhere else, completely different from where Abraham was at. So what does all of this have to do with anything? What am I saying? I'm saying this specifically. God is doing some things for his people. He is wanting to bless and to move and do some things unlike he's ever done before. But he wants to do them for you, not for any and everything else that you want to drag with you. God has already placed the family, the people in your life that he wants to be there. The question is, are you still trying to hold on to the lot in your life and keep a relationship there? Why? Because you're family? Why? Because you've been friends for so long? Why? Because maybe you ain't been friends for a long time, but you went through something really serious. We got to take some time, or we got to begin to seek the Lord so that we can understand who it is that he wants to be in our lives and who it is that he doesn't. The promise that God had for Abraham was not even for his father. He pulled him and called him from that. It wasn't for his family. It was specifically for him. And then by separating himself and letting God do what he had to do with him, he was going to birth something through Abraham that would be for him and many others to come. But if we're still trying to hang on to those individuals and those circumstances that don't want to sell out completely and walk with the Lord, we're going to get held back. Lot was held back. Yeah, I'm not going to say that, you know, he was a devil worshiper or something like that, because God did allow him to get out of Sodom. I'm not going to take his man of God co-op from him. I'm not going to say that he was or wasn't saved and all, you know, that he wasn't. None of that. I'm not about to dog his name. But I am going to be realistic about his behavior. And the behavior, because he lived where he lived, it didn't just strike him. It struck his whole family. Lot's wife ended up looking back. God told him, don't even look back. She looked back because that had drawn into that old environment. There were some things about it that she liked. She liked the freedom. The freedom. She found herself to herself. Lot's children were perverse. After they escaped, his daughters was like, well, we here now, we by ourselves. How the lineage of our family going to move forward? We don't have any men to be with us. Let's get daddy drunk, and we'll let him get us pregnant. I mean, we watch the reality shows, and we watch some of the talk shows, and we think that they're saying something new. The Bible said ain't nothing new that's been done that's under the sun. But because of the place that he put himself in, all kind of perverse things were going on around him, and all kind of perverse circumstances happened toward him. Take some time out and analyze the people that you are, quote-unquote, friends or family with. Take the time to actually look at their behavior, look at their surroundings, and what it is that's coming out of their life. Because just because you're supposed to love them, just because you're supposed to pray for them doesn't necessarily mean that you are supposed to be right there in the midst with them. It doesn't mean you're supposed to be at every family gathering, at every graduation, at every picnic. Whatever the Lord is calling you to, some of you are having a hard time because you know in your heart you feel like you need to separate for some folks or some things. It's not out of bitterness. It's not out of envy. It's not out of strife. But there's something that's pulling at you in your walk with the Lord that makes you say, I have got to pull back. And because we read the scriptures about forgiveness and love covering a multitude of sins, and because we want to be like Christ and he hung out with the sinners and the publicans and stuff like that, that sometimes we go overboard the whole forgiveness and acceptance part, that we don't have the balance to understand that love and forgiveness does not also necessarily equate to very strong and bonding relationships. This is why we got to stay in our word, and we got to study it, and we got to know what the word says, because the word is what will minister to us to let us know, hey, in this season in your life, you're going to have to separate from one another like Lot and Abraham did. Not stop loving, because obviously Abraham loved Lot a lot. There's a lot of lots in that statement. But still in all, he had to continue to move forward in his walk. So we're going to take a brief break, but let's think. Some people, you're listening to this, and your spirit's already been provoked. Let me just say this before I go to break. There are people that quickened in your spirit. I don't even know who those people are. I don't even know who's listening to this show, okay? But what I do know is that the Holy Spirit is ministering to you right now. So just like how we talked about last week about not picking your spouse apart and everything that's wrong with them, this message is not being brought forth for you to pick apart the people that aren't, quote, unquote, in the will of God. It's not to judge them. It's not to dog them. It's not to doubt them. But you may have to separate to some degree or completely separate. But completely separate, but you can still do it in love. It isn't that you don't have to go to somebody and say, well, you know, I love you because, but we can't hang out no more because, you know, I'm living a saved life and you still want to do this, that, and the other, and that's affecting my spirit and I'm just not in agreement with it. Because then you're basically judging them where you need to go ahead and go and let God finish and complete his operation on you. If the Lord leads, maybe he may have you say something, but he would still have you say it in love. He would still have you be very forthcoming about the situation. So just think about it. We know what those relationships are. We get on a high, they call, we on a low. We want to talk about the word. For some reason, they always want to talk about something different. You want to go to this event, they don't really want to do that, or they want to do that, but, hey, right after that, can we go to this kind of event? And then your spirit gets set. Sometimes we just have to let some things and some people go. So, you know, I don't like to say, I know I'm a talker, I say a lot, I don't want to say too much and have too much on our minds at one time. So how about we just break for a moment and let the Spirit minister to us about that. Let a song play for, you know, a couple minutes, and we'll be back in a second.
So much power in your name, Lord. You save me. So much power in your name, Lord. You bring deliverance. So much power in your name, Lord. Our Redeemer, our Savior, we worship and praise you, Lord. So much power in your name, Lord. You heal us. So much power in your name, Lord. You bring deliverance. So much power in your name, Lord. Our Redeemer, our Savior. Prerogative, your healing infirmities, yes. It's the work of your Trinity saving us, yes. It's your majesty, we happily worship you, yes. By your prerogative, you turn and determine this blessed. From my weariness and burdens, you've given us rest. Now what we deserve is what we have earned on his death. You provided the Spirit, enables us to press.
So much power in your name, Lord. You saved us. So much power in your name, Lord. So much power in your name, Lord. Our Redeemer, our Savior, we worship and praise you, Lord. So much power in your name, Lord. You heal. So much power in your name, Lord. You bring deliverance. So much power.
All right, so we're back looking at relationships, friends, family. You know, I thank the Lord because he's so divine. I love how he gets revelation. And I was just sitting here looking through my notes and some of the scriptures that I went through, and earlier I had made the comment about friends and family being interchangeable words. And one of the scriptures that I looked up, It's Proverbs 17:17, which says that a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Even the scriptures intermingle the two. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Scripture, and put it in your pocket. We'll come back to it. I just, you know, hey, we're on the show together, developing a relationship. Hey, if it's spontaneous for me, hey, I'm just talking to you guys. I throw it out there. So let's go forward. We're talking about relationships. We're talking about how sometimes God separates us from certain individuals. Okay, well, what about the other perspective? What about the ones that God has called us to be in relationships with? You know, I don't know about you guys, but for me, being in church, it seems like it's harder to have friends. It seems like, you know, you and your homegirl, y'all can get mad or whatever, but you know what, girl, we ain't going to even trip off that. Let's go get a drink. You know, you'd be pissed off, but okay, but, you know, I love her kids, and, you know, they're my little nieces and nephews, you know, family members. You know, when you're not saved, it seems like a lot of stuff, you know, you get mad sometimes. Y'all not even physically fight each other, but still end up being cool, you know. But when you get in the church, what happens? Why is it that friendships become such a difficult thing? Why are relationships so hard? Well, I have a couple of things that I believe, based on the Word of God and personal experiences and how that's manifested in my life, of why we have such a hard time having healthy relationships in the body of Christ. And it has a lot to do with when those rough patches, you know, come up, because the expectations are so high. You know, Paul said, I got all this stuff going for me, but I still haven't arrived, meaning that he still wasn't perfect. He still didn't have it going on. He still needed the Lord. But we look at each other sometimes, and it's like, oh, I can't believe all this deeds that it said. She's supposed to be saved. She's supposed to be my friend. But see, it's really not the supposed to be your friend part that messed you up. It's the part that I was supposed to be your saved friend that messed you up. It's like, okay, well, you know, she's supposed to know God and all of this, but she said this and she did that. And instead of us all being in the body of Christ and understanding that love covers a multitude of sins, what we end up doing is saying that because I'm in the body of Christ, you're supposed to be perfect. And you're supposed to be perfect, so I can't have you make no mistakes. The flip side of that is that when we make mistakes and we have friends who may be very forthcoming with us and say, hey, you made a mistake. Then it's all, why you all up in my business? Why you trying to tell me what to do? And, you know, yeah, she's supposed to be all saved, but she's being all judgmental. And, you know, I ain't the only person that's seeing you without seeing cast the first song. And then it's okay for you not to be perfect, and the person that's saying something to you is being judgmental. Let's soak that in. Think about it. When someone that, I'm going to repeat them again in slow motion, when someone that you are cool with is saved, makes a major mistake, you get highly disappointed because they made the kind of mistake that you don't believe that someone who is saved to their degree should not have made. On the flip side, when you are saved and someone else comes to you, especially when you didn't ask for it, to address something with you that is contrary to the will of God, no matter how nice they say it or how mean they say it, you believe they up in your business and being judgmental, and you don't look at yourself and say, wow, I'm saved, and at my degree of being saved, I shouldn't be making no mistakes like that. No, all of a sudden, your degree of being saved is why they should be patient with you. So, conflicts arise in Christian relationships, and we don't know what in the world to do with them. And then we got all these different thoughts and ideas and opinions about how it's supposed to go down when we deal with these relationships, but we don't have to look and try to figure out how we're going to deal with anything. Because the Word of God is literally the answer for all things and the answer on how you deal with circumstances, conflicts. It's all in the Word of God. And he will quicken in your spirit and remind you of the scripture to let you know what you're supposed to do and when. Remember with Abraham and Lot, there was a time when God allowed him to physically go to the rescue. And there was a time when God only allowed him to intercede for the rescue. So sometimes, yeah, the scripture that love covers a multitude of sins is all you're supposed to worry about. You need to be like, you know what? I love them so much that this is not that important. And I can see they're going through a season and they're going through a change. So my brother or sister in Christ, I'm going to continue to pray for them that they can be healed and delivered, and I'm going to love on them and I'm going to speak to them, and it's going to be great. But there are other times when the Lord may be saying something completely different. He may remind you of the scriptures where it says that open rebuke is better than secret love, and faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Let's soak that in. Open rebuke is better than secret love. We don't want nobody rebuking us, and we definitely don't want nobody rebuking us out in the open. But you know what I have found? I have found that we will sin in the open. But we don't want anybody to address it. But if we take the time out to understand that the will of God is for it to be addressed for the betterment of your spirit, you get mad at the messenger when really you need to be tripping off of how the message is what needs to convict you. See, the Bible says that faithful are the wounds of a friend. So friends are not supposed to be your feel-good remedy. You sitting up here and you dating this man and you've been dating him forever and y'all sleeping around and you going to the church and every other week your friends see you down at the altar crying and boo-hooing, don't even necessarily know what's going on because now you all in your own little world. You don't share and talk to like you used to because back in the day you tell your girlfriends everything. You in the church, you won't tell nobody nothing because the enemy got you living in a spirit of shame. And at the end of the day, it's not about being judgmental. It's just obvious. It's sitting and everybody seeing it. Everybody else going home and saying, girl, you see how she down at that altar all the time. But if she just quit messing with that dude, she can get ass and problems out of her life. See everybody else talking about you. But your friend comes to tell you the words of God that will pierce your heart and your spirit and convict you, not condemn you. Because there is no condemnation. That's not what saints do to one another. The word convicts, but because your friend says something to you, you got an attitude. You don't want to hear it. But the word, reiterated again, says that faithful are the wounds of a friend. So if you're looking for somebody to be in your life that's always going to tell you what it is that you want to hear and make you feel good about what you're doing, then you got the wrong idea. So bottom line is like I said, one of the dilemmas with relationships is you offended me, you hurt my feelings, so I don't want anything to do with you, as opposed to taking time to allow the Holy Spirit to minister. Some of the things that we do, we don't even realize it, that when we're doing what we're doing, we're hurting somebody else in the body of Christ. Well, what do? We go to that whole thing about, well, even if I did, they supposed to forgive. They supposed to forgive. Forgive, forgive, forgive. Okay, yeah, they are supposed to forgive. But even the Word of God says that if your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he apologizes, forgive him. And then in that, you've gained a brother. God is about conflict resolution. He is about confrontation. See, what the church has done, unfortunately, not all but many, has taken circumstances and situations and we swept them up under the rug. It's like, no, we ain't going to talk about that. Just let it go. Just forgive. But see, if it's burning in you and it's something you can't let go of, maybe it's because you need to get it out. And once you get it out, then you go from there and you can begin the healing process. God is very much on conflict resolution. God is about balance. It isn't just all about forgiving. Yeah, you forgive, but in addition to forgiving, you also may have to confront. There are rules and regulations that he has set up. What are some other issues that happen with friendship? We're not going to really get into these two characters that much, but Jonathan and David, that's a good friendship to analyze. Loyalties, that's why I brought them up. How many of us in the body of Christ have lost friends because of our loyalty? If my pastor, it's sister so-and-so, she's been in this position for so long, This is my brother. How dare you say that to my mother? Oh, no, not my daddy. Blah, blah, loyalty. But if you take the time to go back and look at the story of David, God said, hey, David, you know, I'm going to anoint you to be king. He did this through the prophet Samuel. David, somebody that was vastly overlooked, I mean, in a major way, was a hero. He was a conqueror. He was a warrior. Even with his small stature, he was the one that beat Goliath. And the present king at that time, Saul, was like, these people cheering too much for him, and envy rose up in his heart, and he was angry with David, and he wanted to kill him. And, of course, I mean, who daddy don't call to do his dirty work? But not just his soldiers, but he even told his son, he was like, hey, I want y'all to kill David. Jonathan first went to David and said, hey, this is what my daddy got plans for. This is what I need you to do to protect yourself. But Jonathan went back to his father and said, hey, you know you're out of order. What you going to kill David for? He hasn't even done anything wrong to you. He's done nothing but help to prosper this kingdom. He's done good things for you. And, of course, Saul, he recognized and said, yeah, I shouldn't kill him, even though he went back on his word or whatever. But the king, not just his father, but a father in a position of authority, had made a declare against a man of God. And Jonathan said, I'm not going to do it because it's not right. How many times has someone brought something to you and you can't listen to it and you can't hear it because you got to hear what pastor got to say. You got to hear what your mama got to say. You know, you need to hear what your other friend that you've been friends with for 15 years got to say, not this one that you just been friends for 5 years because, you know, y'all been friends for a longer period of time. So that's where your loyalty lies. The Bible doesn't speak to loyalty. The Bible only speaks to truth, speaks to the reality of circumstances that you're dealing with and what the word says about how it is that you deal with it. So let's kind of go back. Let's review all of this stuff with the problems and the issues that we have in friendship. Unfortunately, when a saved person that's close to us makes a mistake, we get upset because somebody that's saved shouldn't be making no mistakes like that. We get offended, and we don't want nothing to do with them. The flip side of it is when we're the ones who make the mistakes and somebody wants to say something to us, now it becomes you're judgmental. We have got to begin to understand that relationships are going to be difficult in the body of Christ. I got a theory that it's three things that don't happen when it's a conflict if you really, really, truly are a man or woman of God. If me and person A have a circumstance in a situation, I say something, do something that offends that individual. They need to come back to me and they need to say something to me. When they do, one of three things is going to happen. One, when they come, I'm going to completely and utterly disagree. And if I am going to disagree, I'm going to have the words to back me up as to why, and no questions asked. The second option is when you come to me, it's like, whoa, oh, my God, I did not know that I did that. That's not what I intended, and I'm so sorry. And the third option is I'm going to disagree, but I'm going to be pondering in my spirit, where did this come from? Now, here's the thing, people, in the body of Christ, if you're my friend and I offended you just because you came to me and said something to me, and I don't convert to what you said right away, and you are the party that's right, the Spirit is what's going to convict me. And you know what? I don't know if it's going to take a day, a week, a month, or a year. But God is going to convict me, bring it back full circle, and bring it to my remembrance and say, oh. But guess what? In the meantime and in between times, the love still needs to stay there in those relationships. I may not agree with you, your lifestyle, what you're doing, what you're saying, how you're acting, but I should still be able to say good hello, goodbye, give you a hug, embrace you. If you need me or I need you, we should be able to call one another. This whole little perfection mentality towards relationships, it's got to go. We can't be sitting there walking around like, okay, if you're not perfect and you don't deal right with me, it's not going to work. See, we brought up the scripture last week about no man hated his own flesh. Now, remember when we were talking about marriage, we talked about how if you do something mean to your spouse, then your spouse does something mean to you, and then you don't want to do this, and you got an attitude, and you didn't do this, so they got an attitude. And it's this big old domino effect of negative things happening. The same thing happens in just our everyday relationships. We begin to start a vicious cycle. And guess what? Just like with a husband and wife, it's one flesh. That's a different degree of a relationship. But in the body of Christ, see that? We're one body. So when I go out to hurt you and get you, I hurt me. See, we got to get past this mentality that if I'm okay, then that's all that matters. It don't work that way. And if it is working that way for you, then, hey, you eventually will graduate to another degree in your walk, because what you're going to really find out is that when somebody in the body hurts, you hurt too. When you get that call in the middle of the night, that quickening in your spirit, you wake up and you're like, I don't know why I'm thinking about Stephanie. Oh, she's probably doing such and such and such, and then the Lord provokes your spirit, and you end up praying for her because you hurt, because you know what she's doing. You wish that everything was okay. That's not. We don't hurt separately. We hurt together. That's what intercession is for. Lot was somewhere off the chain doing whatever he was doing. But Abraham was like, man, it's got to be at least 50 people in there. And the reality started hitting. It's like, man, that's a really bad city. And I don't know if it's going to be 50. Oh, Jesus, God, I don't know if it's going to be 40. I don't even know if it's going to be 30. Maybe if it's only 20. I mean, he kept negotiating that because he wanted to do whatever it was that he could to talk to God. He's like, come on, Lord, have mercy on this individual. Where is the mercy in our spirit towards people who have obviously done like Lot and walked in the wrong direction, who have taken up camp in sin, in the midst of it, in the environment of it? The love has still got to be there. We still got to use the power and the authority that we have to intercede for one another. So God has said a lot in his word. He has said that we are supposed to be open about dealing with problems with one another, that we are supposed to call out the offenses, that we are supposed to forgive, that we are supposed to let love cover a multitude of faults. Take all of that, soak it in for a second. So we've got two pieces here. We got the resist, we got what we had earlier in reference to Abraham and Lot and their separation, but still having love. And now we've got all of these bits and pieces about what to do with relationships and how we respond. We're going to take us a small break again. And when we come back, we're going to see how all of these puzzle pieces get meshed together. Be back with you in a minute.
You. All we want is you.
All right, you all, welcome back once again. All right, we're getting close to the last segment of the show. Take all of this in. You know, I want to say something really quick. I shouldn't say really quick. Nothing's really quick with me. If you all are beginning to understand, I'm talking to it. But anyway, I'm throwing a lot of stuff out there. And I know that I've said a lot of scriptures and I made a lot of references to a lot of scriptures. There's a constant theme that's going to roll off of my list, and that is you got to be in your word. So many times we can find ourselves being very content with waiting to hear what the man or woman of God has to say. And if we can just get a word, then we will know what it is that we're supposed to do. Because I can feel it in my spirit. There's a lot of you out there. You've got it burning in your heart. And you're like, man, what do I do? And I just need to make sure. Is this the person I stop hanging with? Is this the person I love all? Is this the person I think, you know, when I forgive that, I separate. But what do I do? Well, just like the word of God may be convicting your spirit as you're getting this word from me, to give you direction, hey, I'm only once a week. Your pastor's only once a week. Some of y'all to do Bible study, stuff like that, maybe he's twice a week. You know, for those of you that let your pastor let you blow up their phone, you might be multiple times a week, but I'm going to say give the man of God a break because he got his own issues to deal with. That's another topic for another day. However, the bottom line is if you get in your word, the Holy Spirit is the one that brings to remembrance all things whatsoever he taught you. He will quicken in your spirit just like that the decision that needs to be made regardless of what the circumstance, if you listen to him and allow him to minister to you. There will be times where you haven't even read that word, but because you're dedicated to getting in your word, he will lead you to a scripture. You'll be like, man, why do I feel it so hard in my spirit to read Colossians? And then you read Colossians and you're like, whoa. That's why the Bible says that you're supposed to meditate on the word day and night. And I know many of us, we ain't got time, you know, but you do. Yes, you do. Because some of y'all, when you're watching scandals, you could be reading your word. While y'all trying to figure out what's going on with Oprah, you could be reading your word. When you're sitting there ignoring your children, you could be reading your word. But still, we have time. We just choose not to let that be our time. While we gossiping on our breaks, we could be discussing the word. But we've got to get into a place where we're studying. Because I'm telling you something, I'm new to this. I haven't been in ministry that long. But I accept the day that somebody comes to me and says, ooh, you know what? I was listening to one of your radio shows and you said blah, 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 blah. And I don't know if you realized it, whether it was a mistake or you thought you was right. This is what you said and it was wrong. I welcome and I accept the challenge because I want to grow, and I'm human, and mistakes will be there. You know, so I've said a lot of things about a lot of people, and the things that I've said, you can't get it from reading a key verse from the day. I like daily bread, but you can't even get it from reading a quick sample of a daily bread. You're going to have to get it because you're going to read chapters 12, 13, and 17, 19, 20, and look in a concordance for a word and hop over to Proverbs and James and John and, you know, Jude and stuff like that. You don't have to allow the Spirit to minister to you. So I'm putting it out there. I'm really encouraging you all to go to Genesis, start at 12. Like I said last week, read the story about Abraham and keep reading to see what happens with the intermingling of Lot. Go into Proverbs and see what all of these scriptures are that I'm bringing up. I brought up chapter 17 and 24 and 16. And you know what? When I'm going through the show, sometimes I tell you the exact verses. Sometimes I don't. I'll leave you half of the work and give you a reference for the scriptures. But everything's at our fingertips. All we got to do is Google scripture about wounds from a friend, and I bet you'll find it. You ain't even got to be a Bible scholar. You Google everything else, so Google that. So I just wanted to throw that in there, and I'm going to put that out there a lot because the relationship to get this level of wisdom, and I want greater wisdom, comes from being in his word. And so all of that is said to say this is how we put the pieces of the puzzle together. Because with all of these scriptures that I've thrown out there, with these stories and these scenarios, the way that you get it is because you got to be in your word and let it provoke your spirit. Because the word of God says that no man comes to him unless God is the one that does the drawing. God is the one who does that. I don't care how profoundly I can say something. The Bible says out of the mouth of two or three, his word is established. So it may come to you through multiple people. However, it's still based on your relationship and your acceptance of whatever that thing is that God put out there for you to get it. In another scripture, Paul said, I plant the seed, Apollos watered it, but God is the one that gives the increase. And if you ain't in God's faith, then how he giving you the increase? We've got to know who he is. So the bottom line is, at the end of the day, the relationships that we deal with, some of you got to go back and you got to look and you got to say, okay, who am I involved with that the Lord is telling me not to be involved with? However, at the same time, even though I may not be able to be involved with them, having my spirit to be sensitive enough to know that sometimes I may have to go aid or rescue them. But the aid and the rescue does not mean reunion. It doesn't mean I save you, how I get out of my face. It's just like, hey, thank you, praise God, and then you kind of just keep on going. And those people are not supposed to leave your heart. We don't get saved so that we can have a yardstick to measure everybody up against and say, I'm this and you're not that. Just like with Abraham and Lot, even though he saved them and he went back, he still stayed on his heart. And that's why he interceded for them. So whether the Lord is calling you to be in relationships or out of relationships, he's never calling your heart apart from the individual. He's never calling your concern to be away from them. That couldn't be, because that would deviate from the Great Commission, that we're supposed to go to all nations. We can't be telling everybody about Jesus if we're finding reasons to have art or anger in our heart against someone that God has created. We didn't create. God is the creator of all things and gave us the ability to do what we do, so that means he's still the one that's creating. So if you have somebody in the body of Christ that appears to be saved, which is what I'm gathering from the circumstances, Lot and Abraham, however, you see their heart turning towards Sodom, turning towards Gomorrah, and making decisions that are going to put them in a perverse place, it's not really difficult to understand. The Lord will cause you to separate, but not out of strife. Remember, Abraham separated out of love. Hey, I don't want to fight with you, nephew. And matter of fact, he humbled himself. See, this is how good God is. What if Lot said he wanted to go towards the land with Canaan that God had promised him? But see, the thing about it is he could have never done that. God knew what he was doing. He knew what Abraham, being a man of God, he humbled himself. See, sometimes we don't want to humble ourselves, separate from relationships, and suffer what we think could possibly be a loss. It can't be a loss if God promised you something. Whatever he put out there for you, it is still yours to receive. No one can block or take away the blessing that God has for you. It's in your humility that things stay peaceful. If Abraham probably would have came, a lot of them like, man, with all this stuff going down and stuff getting on my nerves, you know what, you need to leave. Then it would have been like, what you mean, I? Because, you know, for those of you that took those classes, you know, you never say you. You always say I, and I feel. You never point the finger. If Abraham would have did that, I would have been like, well, why don't you leave? You're the one who brought me with you anyway. Can you imagine? Can you see that being the scenario? But that's not what Abraham did. He's like, man, I don't even want to be no problems with us. Hey, why don't we both just split? As a matter of fact, you can pick first. See the peace that was in that and how that separated? So those relationships that we got to get rid of has got to be on a peaceful note. And for those ones that God has kept us in, we got to be willing to hold each other accountable. We got to be able to say to our friends what it is that's out of order. And we have to be able to receive from our friends if we're the ones that are receiving something that's out of order. Because in good relationships, iron sharpens iron. Well, I didn't try to fight and stay either. You got to realize that. He didn't say, oh, man, no, I don't want to go nowhere. You know, I want to be with you. As blessed as Abraham was, I don't think I would have wanted to leave Abraham. I would have been like, no, nah, dude, and we got to figure this out. Because hanging with you, I ain't got a whole lot of stuff. you'd be surprised. When you do come to somebody and you say what it is that you got to say, you'd be surprised how many of them people, you know, they've been dealing with the same battle you've been dealing with, you know, with your uppity same self or whatever it is. And they'll be like, oh, well, you know, it's all good. It ain't no big deal. It's just that weirdness that's there that the enemy likes to play on. The Bible talks a lot about casting down imaginations in Corinthians. You know, a lot of times we're overthinking things. We're like, man, if I say this, this going to happen, that's going to happen, and this going to look like this. Stop it. Quit trying to predict the future of what the events will be, what things are going to look like, and just roll with it. And as those circumstances come to you, deal with them. You know, one last thing I want to bring up, we're getting really close to the end. The reason why Abraham knew to intercede for Lot was because when God visited with Abraham to give the fullness of his promise before he left him, he was like, man, I can't withhold from Lot what I'm going to do. I got to let him know what I'm going to do. God revealed it to him. Sometimes God is revealing things to us about people that we don't want to know. We wish that we didn't hear. But when we get it, we need to take it to the Lord in prayer. We need to intercede. You ain't going to no strip clubs, to no hood, no crack houses and all that stuff if the Lord ain't called you to do all of that, and you ain't going on no rescue mission to save anybody. Because we got to get out of that. There's only one Jesus. Sometimes we want to do so much and we want to look at like what these movies be portraying the heroes to be like. But see, the best hero is the one that falls back and lets the miracle happen. They know that when they take it to God, they have confidence that God heard their prayers and he's going to be the one to do it. And they let God be the one to take over everything. So for some of you that may have been questioning, yeah, but God brought this to me and this person's really in trouble. Yeah, God brought it to Abraham. But he brought it to him for him to intercede. We've got to be in a position where we expect God to do the doing. So I hope that today ministers to everybody. I hope that we've gotten a lot to think about in regards to relationships and how we view friendship and some of these things, even though I didn't relate it to marriage, they still all go hand in hand. And I'm sure that at the right time, God will bring all of these things back full circle. But the concept of being one body versus being one field there, we've got to look at how we're dealing with things and circumstances and people in the kingdom. So I hope that the Lord ministered a good word to you all. He's definitely ministered some things to me. And before we close out, I just want us to pray. I thank you all always for listening in. Please send emails or questions and comments. And let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, there is none like you, Lord. Lord, we are dealing with circumstances and relationships with people, and you know what, we just want to get it right. And we pray out of all that you've given us in the Word today, Lord, that you will continue to convict our spirits to understand it. God, we just pray that you will guide us to the right scriptures in your Word so we understand how to deal with conflicts and how to even take what we heard today and take it to the next level. Help us even when we see people walking in the wrong direction, God, to keep a heart of love towards them, an attitude and a spirit of prayer towards them, God. Continue to help us be more willing to be rebuked by one another, God. Let the wounds of our friends be faithful to one to another, God, so that we can strengthen one another in our walk. Let iron sharpen iron. By the body of Christ so that we can be on one accord, God. We just thank you and we praise you for everything that you do, and we ask you to forgive us for anything that we've done that may have been out of your will. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.